Turn with me to the book of Joshua. Joshua. Reading today, I want to speak from what I was reading today. Joshua chapter 9. Looking at Joshua chapter 9, and we have beginning with verse 3, the inhabitants of Gibeon, and this is a well-known incident. The inhabitants of Gibeon, which are, as they said, you find out at the end of the incident, they're about 3 days' journey away. And after Jericho and Ai had been conquered, and of course the prior conquering on the other side of the Jordan had already struck fear into everyone's hearts, the Gibeonites and those cities around Gibeon to the west there, said to themselves, we need to do something to preserve our lives. And so they come on purpose with holes, with clothes with holes in them, shoes that are all worn out, moldy bread, and tell the story to Joshua and the elders that all these things, when they left their homes far, far away, get the idea, you know, this is a media or, you know, like the Caucasus kind of area, weeks and weeks away. All the bread was fresh and their clothes were new and their shoes were new. And look how our bread is all moldy and our shoes are old and our clothes are old. But in fact, they're just neighbors. And so Joshua and the leaders of Israel make a covenant with them. And the key verse is verse 14. It says, the men of Israel took some of their provisions, whatever that means, but they did not ask counsel of the Lord. Verse 15, so Joshua made peace with them and made a covenant with them and let them live. So the title that I have on here is Good Intentions versus Earnest Prayer. Good Intentions versus Earnest Prayer. So the point of view that is easy for us to take frequently, large situations and small. And you would think that we would not do that in large situations, or that we would certainly have more tendency in small situations. But I think it's large and small situations. And we say to ourselves, why not? It looks good. And that's exactly what they did with Gibeon. I got this figured out. And we say, because it looks good. I know I got this. And the problems with that are a multitude. And we need to note them to ourselves to be able to admonish ourselves. First of all, It dovetails with my desire to look good to myself. I can handle this, right? To the ability to do good, appear, I'm sure, to them to be magnanimous. They did have the command from Moses, if those come out and when you challenge a city, well, then you show them mercy. He wanted to look good. He wanted to be wise. that's number one. And secondly, because it seemed already clear. You don't have to seek God's will in it. And I think that we are, as I say, we are all guilty of this, and my desire here is to attempt to put weight on the other side of this scale. Why should we be bringing everything before the Lord, large things and small? First of all, what God is doing may not be immediately clear. I mean, we have a situation, it seems obvious, and so I just proceed. I have a situation, it seems obvious to me. One, two, three. Four follows from one, two, three. Hello? We say that to ourselves all the time. But may I say this, in God's reckoning, four does not always follow from three. God may very well have other plans. There may be a 3A in there. You know, in mathematics, four always follows from three, but in God's mathematics, there very often is a 3A in there. Okay? So that's first of all. And then secondly, not to do so is willful. And that is what specifically is stated here. They did not ask counsel. It was obvious to them. They did not ask counsel of the Lord. And the reason I say there's one, two, three, or what about four, we have to remember God presents our circumstances. God presents our circumstances. And the one, two, three has been brought to us by God. And the meaning of one, two, three, as I say, is not, the series is not always one, two, three, four. And sometimes it's one, two, three, right? Sometimes. So my proper outlook is to say, God has presented this. What does it actually mean? How ought I to be viewing this? Okay. Secondly, and this may seem a little bit rambly here, but the nature of what it says here that they didn't ask counsel. So often, if we are praying in the 1-2-3 situation, it's kind of perfunctory, isn't it? It's all laid out here. I know what I should be doing. I know the series. Okay? But if we remember that it's God who has done this, then I am slower. I want to see God's hand in. I want to see God's hand in. And that's the point. It seemed obvious, right? It seemed evident. It just wasn't. So that not only ought the believer to be prayerful in the 1-2-3, what is for, but there needs to be a true asking in faith. That's implied here. Says they didn't ask counsel. not just going through the motions, but actually seriously. I mean, that seemed like it was obvious. Why should, in some sense, why should they even ask counsel? I mean, we could put some weight on that side of the scale, but it's clear from the narrative that they were in the wrong, and so are we frequently. Okay. So we so often the last point, and I'm just going to have a title here. Surprisingly, our decisions ought not to be just evidence-based. That's what I've been saying with the 1-3-4. The Lord Jesus was of this sort. Here's the prophecy of the Lord Jesus in Isaiah 11, which is, if we put it in the light of our setting tonight, unusual. Isaiah 11:3. He will not judge by the sight of the eyes, but with righteousness. He will not judge by the sight of the eyes. Well, look at these guys and their holy clothes and their old shoes and their moldy bread. He judges more deeply than that. So there's the prophecy, and then the Lord Jesus has not only taken that in, he takes it in and teaches from it in John chapter 7. He says, do not judge by appearance, he says, but judge righteous judgment, which is a paraphrase of the Isaiah 11, and saying, this must be. But that's as much as to say, don't use 1-3 and think 4 follows. He will not judge by the sight of his eyes. And we in our, you know, mechanistic, material world, you know, 1-3 always equals 4 as far as the next step. But the way that the Lord Jesus is putting it to it, he says, here's evidence plus truth. Now, we so often think that we're there. I have these things, these facts laid out in front of me. Right? I apply truth. And I know how to act. Well, I'm sure that's what Joshua thought he was doing. Evidence plus truth. And what we are seeing here is that there is another step, and that is that the entirety of the circumstances are being manipulated sovereignly by God, and we need to have his hand, his imprimatur, on our lives. And that sight of his dealings with us in providence and the meaning of that comes in our day by an earnest seeking. A true asking in faith. Because the Lord Jesus says, you know, if a father is asked by his child for something, will he, you know, a food, will he give him a stone? We ask in faith. So this evidence plus truth, getting away with that. Evidence plus truth plus God in this circumstance. One more example besides the prophecy and the teaching. There's Asa in 2 Chronicles 16. 2 Chronicles 16:12. It says that Asa, when he became old, was diseased in his feet, severely diseased. And again, we have the way the narrative is written. It says, and he sought the physicians instead of the Lord, is the way that it's put. It says he didn't, the way that it's put literally is he did not seek the Lord. Instead, he sought the physicians. Well, that's 1, 2, 3. Why would you not seek doctors? Right? Why would you not seek doctors? Why would you not go evidence-based? What are you trusting is seriously what is being asked. What are you trusting? He thought it was clear. I'll just go to the physicians. They had the answer. He didn't think he was turning his back on God. But the narrative makes it clear in 2 Chronicles 16:12 that and God was. So it has to do with how our circumstances are presented to us. The Gibeonites knew how they wanted to be seen, and they were being propped up, certainly by the world system. Asa's circumstances presented themselves in one way. We, as individuals, as a church, in every circumstance, are being called on to have a heartfelt and a real dependence that causes us to ask, and to ask expecting that God will give us another step. And so often we do make, despite that, we make missteps, and he is kind in dealing with us. But we see here that the dependent heart is what God is looking for. Let's close. Father, thank you for your word to us. Thank you for the call to a submissive inquiry of you in all circumstances and dependence on you. We thank you for this night. We pray that you would help us as we go on from here and in this evening in Christ.